I'm speaking to anyone today who is not a Christian, but you really and truly want to be one, then you are willing to do God's will, and God will give you the power to achieve that purpose.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about the life of Frances Ridley Havergal. That last name is spelled H-A-V as in victory, E-R-G-A-L, Havergal. And her father was also a hymn writer. He didn't write so many words as tunes, but I think both were musicians and poets. In Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, we read, "My dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Another translation puts it, "Work out the salvation that God has given you with a proper sense of awe and responsibility. For it is God who is at work within you, giving the will and the power to achieve his purpose." Do you know that it is always possible to do the will of God? It is always possible to do the will of God. It is possible to will to do his will because God, in his mercy and his grace, has given you and me the power to will. And what we will to do, if it is the will of God, he will always give us the power to do. God never asks us to do anything for which he will not give us the power. Am I speaking to someone today who feels rather wistful about the fact that other people seem to have it all together, or that other people are sure that they're Christians, or that other people are living good, clean, pure, organized, healthy lives, and I'm not? I'm the only one who doesn't know where she's going or what she's doing. Anybody feeling like that today? Let these words be an encouragement. You are to work out the salvation that God has given you, which means you've got to do things. You've got to put your hand to the work with a proper sense of awe and responsibility, because it is God who is at work within you, giving the will and the power to achieve his purpose. If I'm speaking to anyone today who is not a Christian, but you really and truly want to be one, then you are willing to do God's will, and God will give you the power to achieve that purpose. He calls us. He died for us. He gives us his grace. He gives us the will to come to him. And he always meets us exactly where we are. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will never turn away." Nobody who comes to Jesus will be rejected. Frances Ridley Havergal gives a lovely little illustration. She says, "Give a man a great gold mine. It is his. He doesn't have to work for it. It's all there. It's his very own. But he does have to work it out and to draw upon it and enjoy it." I think the figure holds good, for enjoyment seems to hold an almost invariable proportion to work for Christ. I never knew any idle Christian, a really rejoicing one. Now let me go back over that again to make sure you understand the metaphor that she's using. God has called us to himself, and when we have willed to come to him, to receive him, to do his will, then it is as though God has given us a great gold mine. We don't have to work to get it. We do not work for our salvation in the sense of contributing to our redemption or doing good things in order to outweigh the bad things in our lives. Who of us that's realistic and honest with ourselves could ever imagine that we could do enough good things to outweigh the bad things? I'm sure I could never do such a thing. But that's not what the Bible says we have to do. We have to come to him. Jesus calls us. He says, "Come to me, you who are tired and overburdened. Come to me. I will give you rest. If any of you is thirsty, come to me. And if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Coming to Jesus means doing what he says, doesn't it? It doesn't make any sense to come to him and then walk away and not follow him, not obey. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So back to this illustration of the gold mine. If somebody gives you a gold mine, it's a gift. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to earn the money to buy it. It's all there. It's your very own. That's what salvation is like. But you do have to work it out. That's what Francis Ridley Havergal interprets Philippians 2, 12 and 13 to mean. You have to work it out, draw upon it, and enjoy it. Are you working out your own salvation with a proper sense of awe and responsibility? Are you aware that God is at work in you and wants you to cooperate with him? It is God who gives you the will. You couldn't lift your little finger if God hadn't given you the will to do so and the brains to operate that little finger. So we are to work out what God has given us in salvation. Work it out by obedience. Work it out by doing our work faithfully and well. Work it out as we do the laundry or the ironing, drive on the freeway, work in a carpenter shop, run a tractor, drive a long-distance truck, teach a school class, sit at a computer or a typewriter. Whatever humble, unseen, unsung, unappreciated job God gives us to do, and he certainly gives all of us jobs to do that are unseen, doesn't he? How do we do it? Are we in that very activity working out our own salvation with fear and trembling? Because it's God who is at work in us. And she says, Frances Ridley Havergal says, that she'd never known an idle Christian who was a rejoicing one. The figure holds good, for enjoyment seems to hold an almost invariable proportion to work for Christ. And I would say amen to that. The more I give myself wholeheartedly and gladly to the work that God has given me to do, the more joy I discover. And then Frances Ridley Havergal was a great correspondent. She wrote, I suppose, thousands of letters, undoubtedly wrote them by hand. And one of these letters is to a young student. She says, "It is a tremendous question, where are your sins? I do not stay to prove that they are somewhere. You have learnt that. But now, where are they? On you or on Jesus? Oh, that he may now send his own faithful word about it with power to your soul. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Accept that. Believe his word. Venture your soul upon it. And he that believeth hath everlasting life." I won't write more today, she says. All hinges on this question. Where are your sins? If on you you are not safe one instant, there is but a step between you and hell. The wrath of God abideth on him. It is awfully true. Don't dare to sleep another night with condemnation upon you. But if on Jesus, and he only asks you to believe that he has borne them in his own body on the tree, and that Jehovah hath laid them on him, then you are free, gloriously free. They can't be on both. If your sins are on Jesus, you are saved and have everlasting life, and you will prove it by henceforth being his entirely and living to him. I desire and pray that the great question of your life, of your whole eternity, may be decided before you go back. It will be easier now than it can ever be again, if he should ever give you another call. Well, just this past week, my husband and I had the great pleasure and privilege of having two of our grandchildren with us, Jim, who's 8 years old, and Colleen, who's 6. And we had a ball. And they seemed to have a wonderful time. In fact, they didn't want to go home when it was time to leave. But during that time, we had to have quite a few little lessons. It was always the same lesson, but quite a few incidents when I had to point it out to them. Pick up your toys. Pick up your clothes. Don't leave the game on the floor. If you're finished with playing the game, put it back in the box. Put the box in the drawer. Pick up your toys. Hang up your clothes. Don't leave the game on the floor. Now go into your bedroom, look in the room. Is there anything on the floor? Anything out of place? Place it where it belongs. This is, I think, a very practical kind of way of teaching a little child to work out his own salvation. Do the things that God is not going to do for you. God is not going to pick up those toys. He's given you two hands. He's given you a will. You must do it. Well, the Lord bless you, and I trust that you're finding as much help and encouragement in your Christian life through the life of Francis Ridley Havergal as I've been finding.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.